The following reading is from Alec Moter's devotional commentary, Isaiah by the Day, a new devotional translation, Guinea's House, Christian Focus Publications, 2011, pages 216 through 219, day 49, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24 through chapter 45, verse 7. Look back. Since chapter 42, verse 18, Isaiah has covered two topics in parallel. First, the first is the political circumstantial needs of Israel, bondage to a foreign power named in chapter 43, verse 14 as Babylon. The Lord promises to deal with this in chapter 42, verse 18 through chapter 43, verse 21. Second, the second is Israel's spiritual need. It was sin and disobedience that brought them into enslavement, but the Lord will deal with this also in chapter 43, verse 22 through chapter 44, verse 23. Now, in chapter 44, verse 24 through chapter 55, verse 13, Isaiah turns to the how. The solution to their circumstantial plight is the Persian emperor Cyrus, chapter 44, verse 24 through chapter 48, verse 22. And the solution to their spiritual plight is the servant of the Lord, chapter 49, verse 1 through chapter 55, verse 13. The Lord's Cyrus Plan. 1. The plan announced, the agent named. Chapter 44, verse 24. This is what Yahweh has said, your Redeemer, the one who shapes you from birth. I am Yahweh, doer of all, by myself stretching out the heavens, spreading out the earth by my soul will and deed. Invalidating the signs of the pretentious talkers, and the one who bemuses fortune tellers, turning the wise back to front, and the one who makes their knowledge an insight into folly, implementing the word of his servant, and the one who brings a fulfillment to the advice of his messengers, who says about Jerusalem, it will be inhabited, and the cities of Judah, they will be built, and its desolations I will raise up. Who says to the deep, be waterless, and your streams I will dry up. Who says about Cyrus, my shepherd, and all my pleasure he will fulfill. Even to say about Jerusalem, it will be built, and about the temple, its foundation will be laid. 2. The plan confirmed for Cyrus, Israel, and the whole world. Cyrus, chapter 45, verse 1. This is what Yahweh has said to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I have gripped in order to beat down the nations before him, and that I should ungird the loins of kings in order to open double doors before him, and that gates should be unbolted. Ahead of you I will myself go, and I will smooth out upraised barriers. I will shatter doors of bronze, and I will cut through bars of iron. And I will give to you the treasures of darkness, and things concealed in hiding places, in order that you may know that it is I, Yahweh, who is calling you by your name, the God of Israel. Israel, verse 4. It is for the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen, that I have called you by your name. I surname you, and you do not know me. I, Yahweh, and no other. Besides me, no God. I gird you, and you do not know me. The world, verse 6. It is in order that from where the sun rises to where it sets, they may know that there is nothing besides me. I, Yahweh, and no other. Shaping light and creating darkness, making peace and creating evil. I, Yahweh, doing all these things. And here's Alec Motier's thought for the day on Isaiah chapter 44, verses 24 through chapter 45, verse 7. We can well imagine the trepidation with which the exiled people of Judah in Babylon would have viewed the advent of a conqueror powerful enough to sweep all before him and, in the end, enter mighty Babylon unopposed. Bad enough, did they say, to be gripped by Babylon's power? What price the power of Babylon's conqueror? And we often feel that the same way today, at the mercy of powerful forces in the present and trembling at the enormities the future will bring. Isn't that why the Lord had in grace given them the message of Isaiah, spoken 150 years in advance of Cyrus? To possess and read the word of God is to be forewarned and forearmed. Oh yes, Cyrus is on his way, and yes, he is seemingly invincible, but yes, also, he is in the hand of the Lord, called according to the Lord's purposes, and note this specially, for the sake of the Lord's people. For our encouragement, we also know the end of the story. It was the great conqueror seeming to bring the threat of a more irreversible captivity, who proved to be the liberator who would send the people back home with his imperial mandate to rebuild the temple in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah put the message superbly in his own inimitable words. Whether it is light or darkness, prosperity or calamity, I, Yahweh, do all these things. We can never overemphasize or ever exalt the sovereignty of God. Isaiah depicts him as in full operational charge of his world and of its every circumstance. This is our security. It is the pillow on which we lay our heads. It is why Psalm chapter 121, verse 2, found a place of repose in the God, quote, who made heaven and earth, unquote. For as the Bible reveals the Creator, he not only originates everything, but also sustains and controls everything and directs everything to his appointed goal, a God who is God indeed. This is Alec Motier's Isaiah by the Day on Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24 through chapter 45, verse 7, day 49.